July the 24th. And I got a job with the city of Piedmont when I was 16 years of age. And I worked with them until I could about a year, I guess. And then I went to work for Standard Coosa Thatcher Company, which is a cotton mill, been in Piedmont over 100 years. And I left there, well, I was working there when I met my wife. And we got married in 1943, December the 5th. And I left in 1943, May of 1943. And I went into the Marine Corps. And I went to the South Pacific. I was attached to the... No, Fly's out. He's sick.
I need to check somebody about
the basketball. Then I left here and went to Birmingham, Alabama. And I was inducted in the United States Marine Corps. I went to San Diego, California, and I stayed in San Diego, California for a period of about 8 weeks in my basic training. I left San Diego.
Who's still over, Danny Stone?
So I left, and I was, like I stated a while ago, I was in San Diego, California about 8 weeks, take my basic training. And I left there and went to South Pacific, went to Aniwita, Saipan, Guam, Tinian, Iwo Jima. I was gone for a period of 2 years before I got to come back home. And when I come back, I got discharged out of the Marine Corps at Camp Lejeune, South Carolina. Then I left there and come on back and went back to work at the cotton mill. Then when the Korean conflict broke out, I was inducted into the armed forces. I went in the Army then. And I went to Fort Knox, Kentucky, and stayed up there 14 months, I believe it were. Then I left there, came back home. They discharged me out, and I came on back home. And I went back to work, Standard Coosa Thatcher Company. By this time, I was had a pretty good time in grade and rank, and had a good service time. So I went ahead and joined up in the Alabama National Guard. And I served out my 20th year in there and retired out of that and working also at the same time. And I retired from Standard Coosa Thatcher Company with 45 years. I retired from out there in 1980. 82. I had five bypass surgery, and I had to retire. Then I came back here in 1988. The city of Piedmont opened up the Civic Center here, and they called and asked me if I'd be interested in working part time here. And so I told him yes, I would be interested. Mr. Brent Marson called me, so they hired me, and I went to work down here in the latter part of 88. I don't know exactly how long, what month or nothing, but I went to work down here. But like I said beforehand, I was born and raised in Alabama. I was raised in Cherokee County, right across the line going towards center on Highway 9. And the good Lord's been good to me. He's looked after me all these years and carried me through a lot of difficulties and hard times and everything, but he's always been by my side, and I always respected that, and I always believe in my Lord Jesus Christ. And at this time, I belong to the First Presbyterian Church in Piedmont, Alabama, and I hope to stay there for several years. But other than that, Alabama, the state of Alabama, is a good state. We've had a lot of corruptions and a lot of mishaps. Of course, that's everywhere you go. You know that.
Yeah.
And we've got a great college down in Jacksonville. Just like all the rest of the colleges, it needs some improvements in areas, I'm sure. But that goes throughout the nation. That's just everywhere I'm. But I've got seven grandchildren. And I got one grandson. He's enrolled in the University of Jacksonville. So he should finish college at Jacksonville, I believe, around next spring or next summer sometime. I don't know when he's been. He's been going a good while. I know that. Of course, he's working and going too. He goes at night, 4 nights a week, I believe.
What do you remember about the Great Depression, Gene, with your family?
Well, I remember my mother and daddy and myself. I have three sisters and two brothers. They were six children at all in total. And so I've got, I can remember the little of the Depression. My daddy was working at a sawmill. And I can remember there wasn't a whole lot of things going on in our household. I mean, you know, like today, children has got everything they want today. Back then, if you got a toy, one toy for Christmas, it was, you was doing all right. And I can remember my dad carried us to the store down there, and he'd buy us a pair of shoes, and that pair of shoes had to last us all winter. And you had to take care of your shoes. If you didn't, you went barefooted before it got warm weather. So I can remember those days because it just wasn't no money. And I can remember Mama milking the cow and saving the... We lived off of milk. And if you had a cow, you could get by pretty good. I can remember a lot of people that didn't have anything at all. And they would... They would scrap and eat this and eat that, you know, just to survive. It was tough, and I hope this nation never gets back into nothing like that. I don't remember a whole lot about it, but I can remember what part of it I was old enough to remember of it. I came in right on the back side of it there when it was beginning to shake out of it. But I know that We lived in houses, a lot of houses. There wasn't no ceiling. There wasn't no ceiling in the houses. Houses back then wasn't sealed, a whole lot of them wasn't. And they just built houses and didn't seal them. I remember we used to take pasteboard, get pasteboard boxes and nail up over the windows, keep the wind out of them, you know, in the wintertime and stuff like that. I can remember all those things. And I hope that, like I stated a while ago, I hope it never gets down to that again because this generation couldn't stand it because they're used to bright lights and big times. I was to come up in the hard times when you didn't see no bright lights and you didn't have no big time. You just had a certain amount to eat and you had a certain amount of money that you could spend on clothes and that was it. This day and time, people buy these blue jeans that's faded out. Hey, I wore them all of my life because the reason and patched all over because we had to wear them until they just got to where Mama couldn't patch them. I remember Mother sitting by the lamplight and patching a lot of my clothes and my brothers and patching some of my sister's dresses and stuff like that. But it was hard. It was hard. There's no question about that. It was hard. But you go back. 40 or 50 years ago, people was more related to one another than they are today. In most places like Birmingham, maybe in Piedmont, maybe. I know their neighbor lives over in a house next to us. I don't even know who they are because I don't ever see them. And back 40 or 45 years ago, 50 people knew everybody. You knew your neighbor. You'd visit your neighbor. I remember my granddaddy used to hook up the wagon and you and hook his wagon up and he'd get us and we'd go visiting about 4 or 5 miles or 6 miles in a wagon. He'd leave early that morning about 8:30 and get back home about 4 o'clock that afternoon. But if there was somebody at his house or we went to visit somebody every Sunday. But this day and time, people's got too much television. They don't have time to visit. And it's a jungle out there, and in one sense of speaking, people don't realize, they don't stop to think. The young generation's coming up, and everything is, I'm glad to see that they don't have to be punished or suffer. Raised like I was raised hard. I'm glad to see that. I'm glad to see my grandchildren be able to come up, go to college, and go to finish school. See, when I come up, I just went to the 9th grade, and I had to get me a job to help Mom and Daddy raise a family. Then when I went, when I got into service, I went to took courses. I took several courses through textile and industry, ICS courses. I took all kind of college courses and that too, and got done pretty good with it. I done pretty well because I worked hard at it because I knew what was on the other end that I wanted. And I think a lot of the young people this day in town is unsettled. They don't really know what they want. I think they know what they want, but deep down in their mind, they don't really know for sure that that's what they want. But I've always found this to be true, and I think you will, Emory, in your lifetime. Anything that's not working for is not worth having. Anything that you have to, everybody to give you, or you can sit down and globe over it, it's not worth having. Always remember that. Anything that's worth having, you've got to dig for it. If you dig for it, you appreciate it when you get it.
What about the Vietnam War? What was your ideas on it, or what did you think about it when it...
I think it was a terrible mistake that that we got into there. We got in a bad situation there and got a lot of young boys killed and got a lot of young men's life is burned. But on the other hand, in one sense of speaking, when I was in the service, I was in the jungles too. When I was in the service, you respected your leader. You respected that sergeant. You respected that corporal or that BFC if you was a private. You respected his rank because you had to respect that rank. If you didn't, they would court-martial you. They wouldn't mess with you. That's the last thing you want. And I think we got over in Vietnam and these leaders that they had some good men went in there, but when they come out, they've learned. Because they was caught up in a situation over there which nobody knew anything about it. Nobody seemed to care anything about what was going on at that time. But the Vietnam War was a bad thing. But let me tell you this, World War II was a sad thing. All them ships bombed in Pearl Harbor, all them families killed, kids killed and everything out there. And all them soldiers, Navy, Army and Marine Corps and Air Force that left out of San Diego, California and all over in Germany and all back in there, those people had a hard time. It was cold. It was cold in Germany. I know I got a lot of friends today that came back out of the Battle of the Bulge over there where they froze, their feet was frozen. And I got a good friend now that lives here in town. I talked to him. He'd tell me about, I got one friend that's blind. He got blinded over there. Shell hit the tank he was on and blinded him. And he'll tell me about all. He'd tell me all these things. And it was a situation that that we got caught in there. The president was talking to the Japanese ambassador in Washington when they bombed Pearl Harbor, talking peace, and he knowing all the time he knew.